All right. Thanks for joining us this morning. Let's bow in a word of prayer before we dive into the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you. You're a great Father. We thank you for your love for us, how you parent us, how you raise us, men and women, to be able to know you. That not only did you make us in the very beginning of our lives, in the womb, but you remake us out of sin and darkness by sending forth your Son Jesus, our great hero, our great rescuer. We thank you that he is both your power and as well as your wisdom to transform lives. And so, Lord, this morning we seek more of your life-transforming wisdom for ourselves. And we want it to be more than just to improve our lives, as wonderful as that is. We fully enjoy being sons and daughters of the living God. But we also look at the world around us and see a lot of great evils. We pray against the violence that we are seeing in many schools, even though the year is not even halfway over, and we've seen so much violence, gun violence, in our schools in this country. We ask God for mercy. We ask God that you would send forth us, your people, wherever there are followers of Jesus, that we would act as agents of your integrity, of your kindness, of your grace, of your peace, of your healing. We pray that you would break cycles of sin and evil in our land, and that you would use people like us as you equip us for wisdom, not just to have more head knowledge, but to be transformed in ways that bring the goodness of Christ and reveal the goodness of Christ to a hungry and dying world. And so, God, we pray for mercy. We pray for life for us this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen. Good morning. I want to start off with a loaded question. I want you to be thinking about, how do you define greatness in women? If we could pull up that first slide. How do you define greatness in women? Now, if you are a woman, you should be cringing a little bit that someone like me is standing up here asking you this question, as if you should be fearing, does Josh have some personal agenda this morning where I misinterpret the Word of God to support, depending on your view of me, either an ultra-conservative or an ultra-liberal, of course unbiblical, mansplaining of what womanhood should look like to you. So let's talk about the passage we're actually going to look at this morning. I think that will be helpful because it's a little bit more objective than just listening to me talk. Excuse me. The genre of the passage we're looking at is something very specific in ancient Near East and Hebrew culture. It's called heroic poetry. And this is important, actually, this morning, because heroic poetry, especially in Hebrew literature, is usually used to recount a hero's mighty deeds, their military exploits, and what's interesting is it describes specifically women here in Proverbs chapter 31. And so, if you remember the context historically, in the ancient Near East, women were often treated as property, as less than in value. But in the Bible, what we discover is that women are not objectified for their physical beauty. They are not without agency and choice. They are instead praised for their character and activity, and imbued with dignity as equal fellow image bearers of the living God. Secondly, just talking literarily here from this passage we're going to look at, this is what's called an acrostic poem, this remaining part of chapter 31, which means that each line of this passage begins with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet, 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And that's only significant to you because I want you to hear this. It's a way of commenting by this author that this is basically everything from A to Z about the character of a godly and wise woman. All right? And so if you have a Bible, you'll want to turn in it to Proverbs chapter 31. We're going to pick up in verse 10. You remember, we're in this series. We're in the last section. This is it. This is the ultimate message of this series called Wiser, where we've been journeying through the book of Proverbs to discover biblical wisdom, which we learned is the practical skill of being able to express the art of godly living. And we learned that the way it connects to the gospel is that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 24 through 30, it talks about how Jesus is both the power of God as well as the wisdom of God for our righteousness, for our holiness and sanctification, for our redemption. That means that as Jesus shapes us, and he also empowers us to become more and more like him, it's that you and I can genuinely grow in biblical wisdom to live a Christ-centered life. It's not just an ideal that only Jesus can hit, but he makes us wiser and wiser to live for him and like him. Now, you also remember that Proverbs is not primarily about promises. It's not that God promises ABC will happen to you, but instead it is primarily about consequences, both positively and negatively, in that if what will happen to me if I choose a certain path in life, that Proverbs is about the customary way that life works as ordained by God. And so what we see is that it's less, though, about your external actions causing a consequence and more about your internal character and the faith that results out of your character. And so when you face real situations in life, what happens if someone were to trust Jesus, were to follow Jesus? And so that's why wisdom is often used interchangeably with righteousness and foolishness with wickedness in this book, because godly wisdom is based on the character of Christ lived out in us. Make sense? So last week, we were introduced to our buddy King Lemuel, who writes chapter 31. And just like Augur, who Pastor Dennis introduced us to in chapter 30, we know very little about these men beyond their writings. And so we discussed, well, why are these two people included when 29 chapters were all written by Solomon? Well, you remember I just mentioned how Proverbs is cumulative wisdom from God through people. But there were some things that were left unsaid and unfinished by King Solomon. So God sovereignly determined to add a coda through these additional writers at the very end of this book to kind of put a capstone on what is wisdom. And so like King Solomon, who recorded godly wisdom being passed down from a father to his son, King Lemuel records these prophetic words of wisdom given by his mom, who has God-given expertise and experience as a woman to speak directly into the topic of what a godly and wise woman looks like. So let's pick up in chapter 31, verse 10. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. Let's stop right there. I'm going to break this passage up into the sections that it's actually broken up into literarily. And so what's happening here in the introduction in verse 10 is that he says, his mom says to Lemuel, a wife of excellence is more difficult to find, is more valuable to have than any treasure in life. Now, I want you to hear this, because when you put those words excellent wife together, there's some things that your cultural context are bringing to mind. So excellent doesn't mean that she's excellent at cooking and that she's excellent at making babies and she's excellent at looking pretty and that she's a trophy wife. Literally, the Hebrew word there for excellent means strength and might and ability to deal with life, to get things done. And I want you to keep that in mind. That's what the word excellent here means. So in verses 11 and 12, this husband's heart can put complete trust in her excellence, in her strength, in her might, in her ability, because the result of her efforts is positive for him financially and ethically. It brings about good, practical, and moral good. So not only is this about being a woman of capability, but she's also a woman of character. Verse 12, not only occasionally, but consistently, diligently, she displays this pattern throughout all the days of her life, it says. And so putting these pieces together, we're going to discover throughout the passage, the main idea here is that we are to pursue womanhood that's practically and morally diligent in reflecting godly wisdom. And we'll unpack that a little bit more later. I know that's a kind of a broad statement. That's that next slide, Chang. It's important not just for women, but for all of God's people. For women, I want you to think about it this way, that if you are a woman, you want to pursue being a diligent woman of godly wisdom. But for men, you want to pursue partnering with a diligent woman of godly wisdom. That should be your primary value in dating or in marriage. But I also want you to think about it in another context. You remember back in chapters 1, chapter 8, and chapter 9, wisdom was often personified and portrayed as a woman. Do you remember that? Who would often speak for God. And you remember that we define this. It's not that she's a real person or a real goddess in addition to the Trinity, but Proverbs is asking this question of this woman, if wisdom were a person, what would they say to us? But then why is she portrayed specifically as a woman throughout chapters 1, 8, and 9? Because remember that Proverbs is like parents giving instructions to their son, guiding a young man to pursue the right partner in life. That's what Proverbs is about. So who are you going to be married to? Wisdom or the path of folly? And to do so by looking beyond your immediate circumstances to what will the long-term outcome be. And so this is an encouragement for all of God's people, male or female, that what you value as excellent in womanhood reflects your value of wisdom and godliness. Did you hear me? Because womanhood in Proverbs is a reflection or speaks about wisdom. So women, I want to ask you first, is this how you pursue, personally, excellence in your life? Am I diligent as a woman in practicing godly wisdom, or do I chase after worldly whispers about what makes a woman great? For men, do you pursue a woman for their diligence in godliness, in wisdom, in competence, and in character? Or do you buy into superficial, selfish measures of an excellent woman? Because what you value and what you pursue in a woman directly reflects how much you value and pursue godliness and wisdom. I want you to hear that, especially young men. Now, what I don't want you to take away from this passage is an unhealthy or unsustainable picture of a woman. So instead, what you're going to discover is that these are principles to be pursued rather than practices to be prescribed. So it's not saying that you are not a godly woman if you're not like ABC XYZ. Of this Proverbs 31 women, because she is an impossible standard to live up to. But these are principles that you can apply into your life that you should be pursuing as you follow Jesus. All right? So let's get into the meat of the passage. Verse 13, talking about this woman, she seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ship of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. Distaff is just a spinning fork for wool, right? Or for flax. So what are we talking about here? As this woman of capability and character, whether you are a housewife or a businesswoman, you're not just relegated to the home. She is industrious outside of the home. So in verse 13, we discover a woman who is proactive in seeking out the materials she needs for working with her own hands that she actually enjoys, which is, for her, producing clothing. So she's in this She has this whole kind of side hustle, textile industry that she's doing, making clothes for people. So in verse 14, because of the economic foundation that she's built up through her hustle and bustle, she doesn't have to settle for the usual dinner fare. Instead, like a trading ship, merchant ship, she brings home tasty treats from distant lands. So she gives the good stuff to her family. She even hustles and is diligent in how she provides for her family. Verse 15, but she's not just a slave to her own comfort. She is diligent to rise up early in the morning to take care of her family, and her maidens are literally her servant girls. So she takes care of her family and her employees from her business. And then in verse 16, from the money she's earned through her textile endeavor, she diversifies and expands her business into agriculture. She wants to plant her own vineyard. And I want you to notice here, she goes to check out fields on her own. She's trusted by her husband to exercise diligence and discernment from God. And so all these things, if you put all these pieces together, they all point to how industrious she is in her work, at home, in her decision-making. And it's kind of tiring and depressing if you're a woman to think about, oh my goodness, is this the kind of woman I need to be? I need to be a full-time mom. I need to be a full-time housewife. I need to get a full-time job. I need to be super at everything. No, this is a superwoman that no one can seem to live up to. So how does she do all these things? How is she able to be this type of woman? And the key is in verse 17. It says that she has strength endurance. Because, verse 18, she perceives her merchandise is profitable. What does that mean? That means that she just knows how to make a buck really well, and that's what's happening? No. If you put the pieces of these verses together, it's talking about how she has strength and endurance to have all these late nights and early mornings because she perceives. She has insight and experience that diligently trusting God and His wisdom, when she applies it to all the opportunities presented throughout her day, it has paid off. She perceives it is profitable. That in following godly wisdom, she's able to make practical profit. It makes her financially shrewd. It helps her to empower her family and her coworkers. It helps her to discern difficult decisions. It strengthens her mind, her heart, and her character. So that in verse 19, that's why she's able to remain motivated to continue being diligent in her work. And so the point in this first section is that a wise woman develops diligence in the daily opportunities she has because she trusts and experiences great benefit, the great benefit of applying godly wisdom. And so let me put it to you this way. It's more than simply working harder or working smarter. It's working wiser. And the point here is not to do everything that she did, that in order to be a godly woman, you need to be able to sew your own clothes and cook the finest foods and make shrewd financial investments and own your own business. But what it's telling us here, telling you as a woman, is to look for those opportunities in your daily efforts and daily investments where you can diligently apply wisdom. You see that? So these are just talking about all these different opportunities that she's experienced where she's diligently applying God's wisdom. And that's your challenge too. Not to do everything she does, but are you looking for those opportunities in your daily efforts, in your daily investments, to diligently apply wisdom? Some of you know a man named Brett Johnson. He is a businessman and pastor, the founder of REAP, which is short for Repurposing Business. It's a missions organization that gets people to apply their business skills in the mission field as a door-to-open mission. What you don't know is perhaps his wife, Lynn Johnson. She also ran a direct sales business for herself. But what made her stand out from the competition is that her business model is based on sound biblical principles, like the kind that you find in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, which says, "Do not neglect showing hospitality to strangers, for thereby some of you entertained angels unaware." And so her whole mindset about business, even though her job is to try to sell products to other people, is how can I actually, instead of taking from them, give and pour into them? And so she would invite clients to her home, not as projects, but as people, not to just manipulate them, but because she wanted to be generous as a follower of Jesus with her time, with her resources, generous in listening, in eye contact, in encouragement. She would always go the extra mile. She's applying biblical godly wisdom. And it made her so successful in her work, outstripping the competition, that she actually ends up making by far a higher income than her husband. In fact, she earned enough money that she decided to quit her job and start a ministry called Heartistry, which all she does is to spend time teaching other people the art of biblical welcoming, of hospitality. In her words, to bless, not to impress people. And she was able to do these things because she diligently applied God's word and wisdom in very specific ways to her work life. So don't work harder. Diligence isn't working smarter. Diligence is working wiser according to God's principles. So I want to ask you, how have you seen Jesus and his wisdom be beneficial in the reality of your daily opportunities? When you receive godly wisdom from God's word or God's people, you diligently apply it in your efforts and endeavors because you trust Jesus, because you trust that it will be beneficial. It will result in a blessing in your life. And my challenge for you this morning is that men and women, would you pray and look for opportunities this week where you might hear and apply biblical wisdom and diligence to a situation and discover how it might result in greater blessing than you could imagine. Godly wisdom is not just fortune cookie stuff. There's truth and there's power in a God who loves us, who can do great things when we're willing to obey Him. But the wise woman isn't just diligent for her own benefit. Let's read on, picking up in the next section of this passage in verse 20. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates where he sits amongst the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchants. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. So here's the picture of the intent of her diligence. Just as, like in verse 19, just as a wise woman, literally, I can't describe to you all the poetic stuff, but verse 19 right before it and verse 20 that we're looking at actually are echoes of each other. They use the same words in the Hebrew language. So just as this wise woman opens her hand to the spindle and reaches out for the spinning fork, in verse 20, she also opens her hand to the poor and reaches out to the needy. And it's tying these two things together, her economic prosperity as well as helping the poor, because they want you to see that a significant portion of her profits go towards ministering to those who are disadvantaged. Verse 21 and 22, she doesn't fear the unexpected cold snap harming her family or her staff, because she's already clothed them, herself, even her bed, with rich, thick garments. She's diligently prepared in advance to protect those who are under her influence and care. Verse 23, her husband is very well respected because he's been invited to sit at the city gate amongst the elders. Now, some of you remember this context. In the ancient Near East, the city gate is kind of the prominent gathering hub of the city. It's kind of like a town square in more modern times. And so the elders of the city would hold public meetings there. They'd dispense guidance and judgment for the city. But the implication in this verse here is not that she married him because he's a man of influence. Rather, part of the reason that he became a man of influence is because he married a woman of wisdom, of character, of competence, and capability. She enhances his prestige through her support, because this passage is about the wisdom of her diligence, her influence, and her ministry to others. You get that? And so, in verse 24, we move on. We also see the excellence of her diligent work benefits merchants, the people she supplies and empowers to make a living too. And so her blessing goes far beyond herself. Verse 25, even though she can clothe herself and other people with physical finery, what she really clothes herself with is strength, with honor. By living out godliness in wisdom, she's not living in fear and anxiety about the future. So where does this courage, where does this strength come from? Here's the key for this part of the passage, verse 26. Look at it. When she opens her mouth, out comes godly wisdom. This is the norm for it. It's not something that she just kind of turns on the fortune cookie factory, but it's something that is already there, that she already is. It's part of her character. And when she speaks wisdom to you, it's not as harsh judgment or criticism that people just tune out. But it says that she speaks wisdom with a loving kindness, that the person receiving it feels loved and cared for, wants to listen to her wisdom. Is that you, Lady of Wisdom? Do you speak wisdom in a way that's kind, that people find palatable, that's done out of love? Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so this woman's words reflect her character, her wisdom, her heart. She speaks Christ's truth, spoken in Christ's love. Then in verse 27, it talks about how she can overcome the temptation towards complacency or self-centeredness. Instead of lying in bed all day with Facebook and Netflix, how does she do that? Because of her godly character and wisdom, she cares about the well-being of her household. She's motivated to be intentionally diligent to leverage her success in order to bless the needy and her family. her co-workers and clients, and in fact the city itself through the influence of her husband. And so when we put the pieces of this section of this passage together, it talks about how the wise woman is diligent in her daily activities, whether it's her attitudes and decisions, her work and her relationships, in order to bless others through her godly character and wisdom. That's the next slide, Kay. Stay with me, buddy. And so it reminds me of a woman I know named Kim Wilson. She is a high-level executive, or she was a high-level executive, in a very well-known wine company. Now, because wine is often paired with what? Chocolate. She had to learn the ins and outs. Good cheese is a good guess. I'm sorry. Not trying to disparage you. But because it's often paired with chocolate, she had to learn the ins and outs of the business of chocolate. Now, as a follower of Jesus, she was horrified to discover that through all the cocoa farming, that oftentimes the treatment of vulnerable workers was terrible in other countries. That they were the people who are harvesting all the cocoa beans and stuff like that, they were nearly in slave labor conditions. Often there was child trafficking, as children had to be put to work in the field, and it was definitely unfair wages, especially for women. And so this woman, from her high-level position and through all of her training and education, launched her own business called Good King. You may have heard of it. They're the maker of flavored cacao bean snacks. And what's unique about their business is that it's based completely on kingdom principles of biblical wisdom, particularly in two ways. Number one, they're committed to producing an excellent product. And so they use, instead of using processed chocolate, they use they create an organic natural snack with cacao beans. So instead of having just processed chocolate with too much sugar that's bad for you, she produced a high quality snack that's actually healthy and tasty. In fact, it was the winner of the 2018 National Good Food Award. Secondly, she's also committed through biblical wisdom to practice fair trade so that she would be able to bless all who are under her company's care by making sure that the cacao farm communities in Indonesia and in Honduras, people there would be treated fairly, would be treated with dignity, including a much higher wage and training them locally and autonomously to be able to process the beans and even export the beans for themselves. And in this way, the women workers could build a sustainable income without having to travel long distances outside of their community to work, which means that they could spend more time with their family, which means that they could also afford to send their children to school, a multiplying influence and blessing. Many of you work hard. Now, how do you tell if your diligence is a reflection of your own selfish ambition and need to control, or is it a reflection of godly wisdom? Here's how. You ask, how do my daily efforts intentionally bless us? In the name of Jesus. If my diligence only blesses me and mine, my family and my needs, what needs to change? Starting tomorrow. Now let's wrap up this passage. How do you become a woman like that? How do you respond to a woman like that? Let's look at this last literary section, verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently. There's that same word. Mightily, with strength, with ability, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. And that's how Proverbs closes. Let's examine that. In verse 28, just as this diligent, excellent woman arises early in the morning, her children, as recipients of her wisdom and her blessing, also arise, but to honor her. And so does her husband, who proclaims in verse 29, there are a lot of ladies of excellence, of strength, and of might, but you, lady, you surpass them all. I am a lucky guy to have you. Why? How? How is she more excellent? Here's the key, verse 30, because she knows that being charming is deceptive. In other words, you can publicly fool people for a little while to believe that you're more smart or more capable or more witty or more kind. But if all you got is charm, it's just all flash without any substance. If you have a lot of physical beauty, it may influence the minds of men for a time. But Lemuel's mother says it's in vain. Literally, the word in Hebrew means it is a breath, a short breath. It's temporary. It will not last. But a woman who fears God receives lasting honor. And this connects us all the way back to chapter 1. What does it mean, the fear of the Lord? It means that we live daily in the light of the presence and the power of God. That as this woman considers the reality of a God who is ultimately holy, infinitely mighty, intimately close and present to her every day, that his wisdom and her way shapes her every attitude, her decisions, and her actions. And in verse 31, to such a woman, reward her for her godly excellence. And even though her husband is the one who sits amongst the city elders at the gate, it says that her works are well known and proclaimed there at the gate as well. She deserves our public acknowledgement and praise. And in what it's not saying there is honor a woman for what a calm and gentle mom she is. Or honor a woman because she is super crafty, good at crafts, while still managing to somehow keep her house spotless. What it does say is to honor a woman of character who's diligent in godly wisdom, revealed through the fruit of her diligence in her daily efforts and daily endeavors, because she loves the Lord, fears the Lord, lives for the Lord. Now here's the trick, okay? Because some of you guys who are maybe married are thinking, that's not my wife, so I'm good. Or some of you women are feeling a little bit depressed, like, I am not like that at all. The trick here is that no one is like that all the time. Ladies, you or your female friend wrestle with the same human conditions and failings and sinfulness that we all do. It's part of why we need a Savior. But when you see a woman being diligent in her productivity, in her generosity, in dispensing and practicing godly wisdom, seize that opportunity to acknowledge and affirm that moment. She might not be like that all the time, but she's like that some of the time. And 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 reminds us that we are to show honor to women as fellow heirs of the grace of life. Yes, but my friend, my spouse, they're not that like that that often. You know, they will grow into godly wisdom, godly living, and godly character if you nurture it with praise. How do you do that? Apologies, ladies. I'm going to flip the script for a moment and use a male example. But some of you have heard me share this story before. Pastor Craig Rochelle, he is the pastor of Life TV Church, which is this huge multi-site church with thousands of people. And there was a time when him and his wife, Amy, were doing some counseling. They met up with another couple who were in conflict and in crisis. And they were sitting there with this couple, listening to them go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and mostly the wife tearing a... How do I say this? I'm about to say something inappropriate. So let me skip ahead. So Amy, wrote Rochelle, the wife of Pastor Craig, said to the other wife who was sitting there, you know what? I'm kind of tired of listening to you tear into your husband. Tear into your husband, that's a good way of putting it. And so Amy said, you know what? That's enough. You're dishonoring your husband and you need to knock it off. And the woman kind of looked her in the eye and kind of scoffed a little bit and retorted back, well, maybe if my husband was half the man yours is, maybe I'd show him honor. And Amy responded back, maybe Craig is the man that he is because I've showed him honor all these years. Now let's flip the script back. I wonder how many women never receive appreciation or blessing from men or from their children for their excellent capability and character, who diligently and consistently nurtured godly wisdom and practice and dispense it in their life, but never have people invest in them with thanks. I wonder how often it withers and dies because it's never watered with honor, it never receives the sunlight of praise not just from men, but even from other women, other sisters in Christ. Would you intensely consider giving honor to each other, to other women, when you see the beauty and the diligence of godly wisdom lived out in their lives? It needs to be honored. It needs to be nurtured so that it can grow. Maybe that sister in Christ is not quite there yet, not as mature as you think they should be. But I wonder how much it would make a difference if we honored those moments when we saw it and called it out. All I know is, for me, you know, I think about, I have my darling little girl who's almost 2 years old. I love her so much. I love having a daughter. It's one of the greatest joys that I've developed over this past couple of years. And I don't want my 2-year-old daughter growing up thinking that the value assigned to her is based on her sexual appeal. I don't want her growing up thinking that she only deserves to be paid 80% of a man's income for doing the same amount of work, probably better than that guy. I don't want my daughter growing up thinking when a man speaks up that he's being assertive, but if she does, she's being difficult. Honor her. Honor women of diligence and of competence and of character in their godly life and in their godly wisdom. If a godly woman works for you, honor her fruit, the fruit of her hands, with fair and equal pay. Jesus and his followers should lead the way in this area. So how do you need to grow wiser about womanhood? What makes a woman excellent in Jesus' eyes? Charm is deceitful. Beauty is temporary. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Be diligent in the daily opportunities as you apply godly wisdom, because it benefits you and blesses many others. And because Proverbs is like a parent instructing a son, guiding a young man to pursue the right partner in life, either wisdom or folly, by looking beyond immediate circumstances to long-term outcome, then what you value and pursue in womanhood directly reflects how you value and pursue godliness and wisdom. Because Jesus is the wisdom of God and the power of God, 1 Corinthians 1, then as you love and excel in wise womanhood, it points to the love and excellence of Jesus. So may you continue to grow wiser through the Word of God applied to your life. May you grow closer to Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Let's pray. This morning, God, we call upon your mighty presence and your Holy Spirit to speak conviction to our hearts and lives. May your people honor women for their godly diligence and excellence. May they seek the right partner on the path of life. May they recognize and choose wisdom over folly. May they see the benefit and blessing of your wisdom for their daily lives, for themselves and for other people. May they continue to grow wiser in godliness that experiences and points to excellence and wisdom of Jesus. We ask this morning that you would convict our hearts if we have a false view, a lie from Satan or the world about what a woman is like. May we surrender it to you this morning. May we turn and repent. May we pursue being the right kind of woman. May we pursue partnering with the right kind of woman as a reflection of being and pursuing and partnering with your wisdom, with you, O Lord. We love you in the name of Jesus.